Welcome to Slaking Thirsts, a podcast that's all about bringing the thirst deep within our hearts for love and communion to the heart of Christ, a divine heart, who is seeking our love and communion in return. The hope is that the two thirsts would meet and both thirsts would be slaked.
So here we are on the fourth Sunday of Easter, which we celebrate as Good Shepherd Sunday. Good Shepherd Sunday. Every year on the fourth Sunday, we hear something about Jesus' identity as the shepherd, the good shepherd, and it's one of the most beautiful, tender images of the Lord. In fact, it's one of the original images of Jesus. If you go back, if you ever get to Rome, if you ever go to the catacombs in Rome, you'd probably discover, your tour guide points out to you these ancient depictions of Jesus. Don't picture Jesus with like a beard and on the cross. The original images of Jesus were him as a good shepherd. This identity, which for some of us, probably most of us, is kind of a foreign identity, this identity was very much at the heart of the Lord. We all think of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. Tender, dripping, intimacy. His care, his concern, his compassion. Or you think of the prophets in the Old Testament where the Lord is railing against the shepherds of Israel, the ones who are supposed to lead the flock with care and concern. And he says, I myself will appoint shepherds. I myself will shepherd my people. And on Good Shepherd Sunday, we're invited to contemplate Jesus as the Good Shepherd. We're invited to contemplate the gift of shepherds within our church. And for me personally, I'm thinking about the gift it's been to be your shepherd for these 4 years at Sacred Heart of Jesus Parish. This is not, I'm just going to say it at the beginning, this is not a goodbye homily. So you can maybe put your tissues away for now. This is not a goodbye homily. That's a homily for another day. That'll come later. And then bring your tissues. No, friends, I assume by now, you probably have heard by now, but if you haven't heard by now, let me be the first to tell you the official news that I received a few days ago, officially from the bishop. The official letters came. I've known for months, though, that my 4 years at Sacred Heart are coming to a close this June. My time serving as your parochial vicar concludes the weekend of June 8th and 9th as we celebrate the solemnity of the Sacred Heart as a parish, which for my money is, I couldn't have picked a better weekend to go out on. So we'll have beautiful packed masses and then we'll party and have a great picnic and I'll just, run out of tears eventually. So at the end of this assignment, starting June 11th, the bishop is sending me up to Lakewood, where I'll begin a new assignment, also as a parochial vicar, but not just for one parish, not just one, not just two, but three parishes. Blessed am I among parishes, right? Three parishes. I'll be serving as parochial vicar at St. Luke's, St. James, and St. Clement in Lakewood under the pastorate of Father Kevin Elbert, who's a good buddy of mine. He was the parochial vicar of St. Mary Parish, my home parish in Hudson. His first assignment was there, and I was still a seminarian, so he and I became really good friends in those days. So I'm really excited and privileged to be working with a good buddy like that. But it's a massive, massive change, to say the least. It's an invitation that comes right from the heart of the Lord, right from the heart of the Good Shepherd, to go find a lot of lost sheep. There's a lot of lost sheep being invited to evangelize Lakewood. It's the most populated, most densely populated city between Chicago and New York. City of about 55,000 people. 80-ish percent of them are under the age of 45. Most of them are my generation, millennials and below, who are, most of them, a lot of them, are failed products of our Catholic educational system. A lot of them went to Catholic grade schools, Catholic high schools, Catholic colleges, and then they don't go to Mass anymore. It's just how it goes. There's a lot of lost sheep. There's a lot of lost sheep. And the bishop is sending me there to go find them. So as I said, my last weekend here will be June 8th and 9th. Mark your calendars. Clear your plans. You blessed me a lot if we could be here to celebrate together. And now I can also officially tell you about the priest who's coming to succeed me here. I want to tell you about this guy. His name is Father Joe Robinson. You're going to have two Father Joes. How you figure that one out, I don't know. I was thinking, do you go new Father Joe? But then if you do new Father Joe, you have to go old Father Joe, which I don't think old Father Joe would appreciate. I'm just going with Father Joe 2.0, all right? So Maybe that sticks. I don't know. So 2.0 Joe is coming. He was ordained in August, I think August of 2020. It was a pandemic ordination. Father Joe Robinson was ordained in the midst of the pandemic, whereas when I was ordained, it was a packed cathedral, people spilling out on the streets. He and Josh Korak, when they were ordained priests on the day of their ordination, it was bare bones and nothing. And that's when they were ordained. Talk about laying your life down for the bride. I mean, unbelievable. So he grew up in Brook Park, and he's coming to this parish. He's coming to us from his current assignment. It's at St. Columbkill Parish in Parma. He posted online today the announcement that he's coming here. And just reading the comments section, it's just so clear that he is so beloved by the people of St. Columbkill. They love Father Joe, and they're going to miss him a lot, which is what you want. That's what you want, both as a parish and as a priest. You wouldn't want your people on your comments being like, good riddance, you know? If you feel that way, just, you know, put it in your diary. Don't post it online for me, all right? This past Wednesday, we got our letters officially on Tuesday. He came out here. I showed him a tour of the place. I showed him the rectory. I showed him the sacristy. Showed him the parish, the church. Showed him his office, which is my office still for a few more weeks. I showed him around the place. We had about 3 hours together, and it was a real gift. It was a real gift to me, both as a brother priest, but also as your father, as your shepherd, to tell him about you, to brag about this parish is really what I did for 3 hours. I told him about the unbelievable things, like the almost too good to be true things that are happening here, that the Lord is doing here, that he's done here, that he is doing here, that he seems to be doing, the seeds that have been planted, that I won't get to see the fruit coming up through the ground, but God willing, Father Joe will see that fruit. I told him about our school. I bragged about our school. I bragged about the unbelievably beautifully renovated third floor of our school where our middle schoolers get to walk and learn and pray and be formed every day, surrounded by unbelievable beauty. Talked to him about the amazing theology curriculum that's being taught at our school, where kids are actually learning the riches and the beauty of our Catholic faith. It's not dumbed down or watered down. But it's real meat and real beauty and real truth. It's not just, well, Jesus wants you to be nice, so go be nice. An atheist could say that. That doesn't make you a Christian. Our kids are learning the faith, and it's amazing. I told them about our amazing students, the unbelievable kids who walk those halls, who are really developing a real, genuine, supernatural faith. Like seeing behind the veil, seeing the mystery of it all, and the reverence that they have for the Eucharist. If you ever come here on a school mass on a Thursday, when either Father Joe or I are reposing the Blessed Sacrament before mass, without being instructed, the kids just hit their knees in silence. It's just such an awe and reverence of the Blessed Sacrament. So much so that during this last quarter, when they were going through electives, they wanted an Eucharistic adoration elective. Not because they wanted to get out of class, but because they wanted to spend time with Jesus. I got to brag about that. I told them about the massive numbers we had in becoming Catholic, and I told them about the amazing team that helps with that. I told them about the people who are in the pipeline. How many do you have in the pipeline for next year? 6 already in the pipeline for next year. No other parish has that. Do you know that? that's not normal. That's not normal. I told them about our amazing, like the fact that for the October count that happens every October, the Sacred Heart has the highest statistical increase, that as a parish we grew the most in the diocese. It's pretty awesome. I bragged about our youth ministry programs, Vine for our middle schoolers and 1010 for our high schoolers, Ablaze for confirmation, and how, like, what's happening there and just the explosiveness of that, and the amazing adult core team members, some of them who are here at Mass tonight. I talked to them about all of those awesome people, about the various adult ministries, Bible studies, packed daily masses, the rescue project that a lot of couples have already gone through. I told them about how one of my biggest problems as a priest on Sundays, especially Sunday mornings, is that One of the most difficult things is that I usually have more servers, more altar boys coming into the sacristy asking to serve than I have chairs for them to sit in. That doesn't happen. That's not a thing that's happening at other parishes. Creating new roles for servers to do. Here, you carry the boat for the incense. You carry the spoon. You be the assistant to the spoon bearer. You be the assistant to the assistant to the spoon bearer. Like, it's an unbelievable problem to have. I told him about the number of guys in this parish who are open to discernment and thinking about seminary and open to priesthood. And I just basically got to tell him that he's the luckiest priest in the diocese. Just the luckiest priest in the diocese. Let me tell you about him beyond where he comes from. Because Jesus, the good shepherd, he doesn't abandon the flock. He's not going to abandon you. And he's giving this parish a really good shepherd in Father Joe 2.0. He really loves the Lord. He loves tradition. He loves beauty. He's a very reverent priest who loves all of the ornateness of the liturgy. He knows that we have the most beautiful thing to offer the world. And we don't do anybody any favors by hiding beauty from you or trying to dumb anything down. He loves teaching. He's excited that we have a school. Some of the most beautiful comments on his Facebook post were about from parents whose kids are just devastated. Because they love their priest. He's joyful. He's happy. He loves being a priest, and just hear this from my heart as your priest. I am so grateful that he's coming here to be your priest. I'm so grateful that it's him, because he's going to take good care of you. It has been the joy and just the privilege of my life getting to be here. I didn't see this assignment coming. I didn't see this on the horizon, and then it happened, and my gosh, like, getting to be one of your shepherds, and I can only hope I was a good shepherd. It's been the privilege of my life so far. I'm not the good shepherd. I am, God willing, a good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And all I've been asked to do by him is to take care of his sheep. You are his sheep. To be his representative as best I can. And I know I haven't done it perfectly. And for those times that I haven't been a good shepherd to you, I am very sorry. I've been asked to feed you and nourish you and guide you and protect you and to love you in his name. I've gotten to experience what Peter experienced that morning where he had that conversation with Jesus at the seashore of Galilee. Simon, son of John, Patrick, son of Richard, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Even though I struck out yesterday, even though I failed yesterday, even though I betrayed you yesterday, even though I crumbled yesterday, you know that I love you. All right, go feed my lambs. Every morning, it's the same conversation, and every morning, it's the same mission to go feed the lambs and protect the sheep. You know, I look back on these now almost 8 years. I'll be a priest 8 years this May, which I know, compared to Father Joe 1.0, is not all that many years yet. But when I look back on May 21st, 2016, the day that I was ordained, my nose on the marble of the cathedral, I knew at that point where I was going. I knew where my first assignment was going to be. I knew I was going to Cleveland Heights to serve the people at Communion of Saints Parish. But I had no idea about you. I didn't know about you. I'd never been to Wadsworth. I'd never been to Sacred Heart. I didn't know on that day when I was laying my life down and I was giving my life away I didn't know that I was doing it for you. Like, I knew it theoretically, but I didn't have your names and your faces and your families and your stories and your sufferings in my mind or in my heart yet. And that I do now is an inexpressible gift. I have just so loving you. And the wild thing, right, is that Jesus says in this gospel, he says, there are other sheep who don't know my voice, who are supposed to be part of the flock. There are other sheep whom I haven't met yet and who haven't met me. And May 21st, 2016, I laid my life down for them, even though I don't know them, and even though they don't know me. And Father Joe Robinson, 4 years ago when he was ordained, when he laid his life down, he didn't know about you. And I have to confess, I feel such a holy envy for him that he gets to come here, that he gets to keep loving you and be loved by you, because you have loved me so well, and you've let me love you so well. That is such a gift. I want to ask you for a few things. First, I want to ask you to pray for those other sheep, the new sheep who I'll be responsible for all those families and all those children and all those marriages and all those young adults in Lakewood, for all of those prodigals and for all of those people who are stuck in sin, those people who are in pits and see no way out, for the people who are spiritually dead and lost and confused. Please pray for them, for me, that I'd find them. Pray for the ones who've been hurt by the church, who feel like the church has abandoned them or betrayed them, that I would be somehow a means of reconciliation for them. Pray for the ones who think that they know what the church teaches, what the church believes, and have walked away from it. So please pray for my new sheep. Here's the second thing. I want to ask you to begin praying now for Father Joe 2.0. Because remember that as he's coming to us, as he's coming to you, as he's coming to love you and serve you, he's also going to be grieving. He's going to be grieving. Because this is really hard. So give him time and be patient with him as he learns to dance with this new bride. Little does he know how good of a dancer you are, but please give him time. Please give him grace. Please be patient with him as he learns to love you. And man, oh man, please pray for me. Because saying farewell to this parish, it's just going to be the hardest thing I've done up to this point in my life. Let me end with this. This is Pope St. John Paul II. He said, the world looks to the priest because it looks to Jesus. No one can see Christ, but everyone sees the priest. And through him, they wish to catch a glimpse of the Lord. Immense is the grandeur of the Lord. Immense is the grandeur and the dignity of the priest. All right, I have one final thing then, I guess I want to ask you. Don't make the mistake of conflating me with the one who sent me. All of the grace, all of the life, all of the transformation. It's all His. My part was to get out of the way and to let Him work, yes, in and through me. But it's His work, it's His grace, it's His life. Don't make the mistake of attributing to me things that are His. I've only ever been the Palm Sunday donkey that He rides on. The good shepherd does not abandon the flock, and He's not going to abandon you. As one shepherd leaves, another one will come, and He will love you. He already laid His life down for you. He just didn't know it. But how lucky He is to love you. Amen.